Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and we all know that the truth will set you free. But the question is, how long are you willing to keep the freedom on hold? And that's what we address each week. In other words, how can telling the truth faster help free you up emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, and even physically? And that's the approach I take, a very holistic approach that brings into account body, mind, and spiritual issues in terms of psychotherapy and mental health issues. Tonight, I won't be having a guest, but tonight's topic is very seasonal and timely, and the topic has to do with holiday blues. The issue being, are we dealing with holiday blues this year or holiday light, which is what our goal would be. In other words, how to make it through the holidays and feel joy, or at least survive the holidays. So, all of us are now confronted with Christmas coming, Hanukkah, which is a Saturday, Kwanzaa, and if you're not involved in any religious connection to this time of year, then you are certainly culturally connected to being bombarded with commercials and commercialism and invitations to holiday parties, and do you give gifts or not give gifts, and what is it that you want to do, and what is the impact of this time of year on you. So whether you are celebrating a religious holiday this time of year or just living in the world, it's hard to avoid dealing with the stress and the history, your own history, involved with this time of year and the holidays. Now, obviously, this time of year is often, you know, a time when we're dealing with it getting darker earlier. It's a time when, if you want to think metaphorically, we're supposed to be hibernating and slowing down more. But actually, culturally, we speed up at this time of year. Like I said, because of the holidays, because of family commitments or obligations or desires, or shopping and gift giving and the pressures that bring. In other words, instead of actually having a quieter time, which is especially in colder temperatures, traditionally when people would be indoors more and spending more time with family on the farm or whatever the situation was years ago, and for some cultures still, we're stuck between the fact that our body clocks and our calendar clocks are saying slow down, but our cultural clocks are saying speed up. So what do you do? You are faced now with the added stresses that are conflicted between the reality of this period of the calendar for you versus the fantasy or desires of this period of the calendar for you. So we're going to ask tonight that you take a look inside yourself in terms of what this time of year means to you, what the holiday means to you, what the history of it brings up for you, what the dread of some of it brings up for you, what the joy of some of it brings up to you, and how to focus on those aspects of the holidays that will feed you and nurture you and maybe even heal some of the wounds of the past. So since I don't have a guest tonight, if any of you are feeling like participating in this, asking questions or making your own comments, or asking us to take a look at some of your own personal issues around this, the local number in the Phoenix area is 480. This is a new number now, so notate it. 480-949-1310. 949-1310. Now, the toll-free number right now is hooked into the old number, so you can't call the toll-free line this week. But if you feel like, if you're really moved to want to participate, make a short toll call, 480-949-1310. So, Let's start. Let's start by taking a look at your own memories. Okay? Your own memories. And I would invite every one of you right now, and again, if you're driving, don't close your eyes, but if you can, and you can take a breath and close your eyes, allow yourself to relax for a moment. And allow yourself to drift back into your own holiday memories. Now, immediately that might bring some tears to your eyes. It might bring some tension to your gut. It might choke you. Or it may actually excite you. But what I'm asking you to do right now is go back to the memory of your worst holiday. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Your worst memory of a holiday season. What was it? What was going on? Was it something that seems to happen every year for you? Was it the loss of a loved one that happened around the holidays? Was it just chaotic for you? And how did you handle it? And how is that memory already feeding into your experience of the holidays this season? How is the anxiety or the sadness induced by that memory already playing havoc with your own holiday season? And maybe with something from childhood, and maybe it's something that is already causing problems in your adult relationship or with your own children if you have any, or just your own sense of darkness and depression that seems to come up and you didn't really get this connection before. Now I want you to shift out of that for a minute. Take a breath. And if I was actually working with you in a therapy session right now, we'd spend a lot more time in there, but I just want you to touch base on it. I want you to shake that off for a minute, if you can, and go back to your memory of your best holiday, of your happiest Christmas, your happiest Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or whatever, even if it's just was a secular holiday season, that you remember being just really the best. And notice if that's a difficult thing for you to do. I'm not saying maybe a great one, but the best one that you can remember. But maybe there was one that stood out. Maybe you have a history where every year you're just in this incredible space, and more power to you, because, you know, there are more people like that than we know, but right now we're just looking to contrast the worst and the best. Now, if you had your choice this year, which of those holiday celebrations would you want for yourself in 2003? The best or the worst? The truth is, it is your choice. It definitely is your choice. Okay? Shift your mindset. There's a quote from Maya Angelou, the poet, that said, if you can't change the situation, then change your way of looking at it. If you can't change the situation you're in having certain obligations to visit family, or financial struggles this year, as a lot of families and individuals find themselves in, if you can't change the situation itself, change your way of looking at it. Okay? Choose and create the holiday season that you want for yourself, the one that you might dream of. Now, I'm going to challenge you with a number of things with this year, because when we get down to the realities, some of that may mean different behaviors, not spending it with your family, if that's the source of most of the pain and suffering. So we're going to look at tonight how the stresses that are already feeding us are based on reality or fantasy, and how much of it is based in your past experiences, and what is the reality of your current situation that allows you to make certain decisions and choices that maybe you think you're not allowed to make. So that's where we're going to start today. In an article by Michael Alviar, who's the author of Men Are Pigs, But We Love Bacon. I found this article actually in the Gay and Lesbian Times out of San Diego this week. And I'm actually, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you what he says about making changes. So we're going to take a short break here. This is Stuart Altshuler, and Tell the Truth Faster, and we'll be right back after this message.
That I heard of once in a lifetime.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight we're talking about holiday blues, or holiday light, and it's your choice. We have a caller on the line, Warren from Scottsdale. Warren, you there?
Yes.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
I'm glad to know you're listening.
Well, I'm under the weather at this point, but...
Can you speak a little louder into the phone?
Yeah, I'm getting a different...
Hello?
Ah, much better, Warren. Thank
better,
you.
Okay.
Yeah, a little under the weather, I think you said.
Yeah, well, I have eye surgery coming up.
Uh-huh.
But actually what happened is you were talking about how it's, I guess, impressed and imprinted in the lives of people, you know, to have a tragedy, the worst Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
First, I thought it was real bad in 1970 when I lost my father on Christmas Eve. You know, he was killed in a car accident.
I'm sorry about that.
And I didn't celebrate for 2-3 years.
Uh-huh.
I got over it, though.
Right.
In 1990, I had a son, 10-year-old, that happened to be killed in an accident by Saguaro Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I haven't been able to bring myself up to celebrate the holiday.
Was his death around the holiday, or is it
no,
just that the
just
first holiday that came after that, it was very hard for you to do it without him present?
I had two other sons, but... things changed for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't cope with the loss of the boy myself.
Right.
And I didn't celebrate the holiday, which was kind of greedy to my other sons.
Right.
I used to buy them gifts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't cope with it myself.
Yeah.
So,
how old are you now, Warren?
He's passed on 14 years, you know. I'm now 56.
Uh-huh.
And I still live that way.
You still don't celebrate the holidays?
No. I put up a tiny Christmas tree,
mm-hmm,
out of remembrance.
Right.
You know, and my sons are, you know, they're adult now.
Right.
But, you know, I'm by myself, and, you know, I kind of cope myself, and I've been pretty ill the past 2 years.
Did you go for any grief counseling when that happened?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yeah. But yeah. I asked the grief counselor many times,
mm-hmm,
what would you do?
Uh-huh.
And he'd, you know, he'd startly say, I don't know. You know, it's hard to deal with unless you're in that position.
Right.
And it was very difficult, you know. I mean, I survived.
Right.
But
that's all you did. You survived. And
and
what I'm about to say, I mean, my heart goes out to you that you had any kind of loss like that. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like.
Well, I mean, many
to lose
parents,
a child.
Many parents lose their children.
Right.
But it's relative to their situation, you know, how they act and feel.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was a professional musician.
Mm-hmm.
I had a trust fund set up for all my sons.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the world to live for when
mm-hmm.
they became 21. You know, because I was on Happy Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's an ironic thing.
Uh-huh.
You know that song with John Lennon?
Yeah.
I played with that band.
Wow.
And every year I hear it.
Uh-huh.
And it was done around 1971. And I just enjoy that song.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of was like a memory to my son.
Yeah.
But the point is I've survived, and, you know, I don't go any further.
Well, let's talk about the difference between just surviving, which doesn't bring you much happiness, but it helps you get through the day.
Yeah.
And getting that spark back that you lost when your son died.
Oh,
and
very much
and,
so.
And you said something very important. You even acknowledged the fact that it wasn't fair to your other two sons.
No.
And in a sense, when they lost their brother, they lost their father also, from what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, I felt like half of me went away with my son.
Exactly. And you know, I'm not meaning to say something that's just, you know, like a pat thing, but wouldn't it be a wonderful way of honoring your son that died than to really get back into celebrating a holiday that probably brought him a lot of joy?
Yeah.
And to honor his relationships with his brothers by rekindling that connection with them and their families.
I've been working on that because, you know, I have the eye issue coming up. I've gone partially blind this year,
mm-hmm.
and supposedly the surgery is supposed to help it. And I guess it's a wonderful life theme.
Yeah.
Is going to be that if my eyes are corrected,
right,
over the next two surgeries,
yeah,
start a new leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's like a goal to me.
Are you still in relationship with your other two sons? I mean,
one went to another state,
mm-hmm.
and the other boy is doing well with a partnership in the oil industry over here.
Mm-hmm. So, but you're still in contact with them. I mean, it hasn't.
One of them.
It hasn't burned bridges or anything.
One it kind of did, and the other one is reluctant to even, you know, bring up the holidays with me.
Uh huh.
So they know how it's been.
Right. Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Two things, actually. Number one is, especially with the medical things going on right now, if you're not seeing a counselor to help you deal with the eyesight issues as well as other things, it would be, because losing your eyesight is like grieving again.
Well, it's starting to happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I know that I've had other friends that have been sick and their lives got smaller and smaller for various reasons because of medical issues, and there's a grieving process that takes place when that's happening. I've had friends with AIDS, with cancer, my own parents getting older, my dad's on dialysis now,
uh-huh.
and there's a grieving that has to be acknowledged, a loss of who you are in the world and a sense of yourself and what you're capable of and what you used to be capable of.
Oh, very great, you know, very great difference there.
And that's why it's important that you're speaking with a professional right now. The next step, though, is also write a letter, three letters I'm suggesting, actually. And if your eyesight is difficult, and that's difficult to do, maybe dictate it into a recorder or something.
Okay.
Write a letter to the son that died when he was 10 years old. Write another letter to each of your other sons. And let your heart do the writing.
You know, the funny thing is I did write something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime I feel lonely or upset or hurt,
mm-hmm.
I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, it soothes me.
You wrote it to the 10-year-old?
I wrote it in the third party.
But you the letter was written to who?
Well, it was like from my son from beyond to me.
Ah.
He said, mm-hmm. you know, something to the effect, I had to go now, but one day we will meet again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ever need me, you know, I'm just bringing absurd stuff.
Yeah, I understand.
If you ever need me, just call in your mind for me and I'll be around. You won't be able to see me,
mm-hmm.
but I'll be a clear, you know, loving feeling around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be there.
Right.
You know, and then when it's your time to take the journey alone,
right.
in other words, when I go,
mm-hmm.
he'll meet me at the other end.
Yeah.
And welcome me home.
Great.
I mean, I've tried that because I was a very successful songwriter too.
Well, my intuition is telling me that there's a PS you might want to add to that letter and see how it feels if you do.
What's that?
The PS would be him saying to you, "It's not your time to be dead. I want you to live as fully as you can and remember me by experiencing the joy with the other relationships in your life."
You know what I wrote, and that's another thing I bring up in that poem. I said, "Grieve for me if you must."
Mm-hmm.
But life goes on.
He said that in that letter.
To me, yeah.
Right, I understand what you're saying.
And I read that, and I still don't grasp it.
But yeah, I get that. That's why it's important. It's important for you to get to a therapist where you can take that letter in and work on your son. I believe I personally believe your son did write that letter through you.
I believe so.
I personally believe that, so I support you in that belief. And it feels to me like you're resisting his request of you to live fully and honor your other relationships in your life.
Yeah.
And my guess is he's on the other side feeling rather sad that his father, who he loves, is trudging through life instead of really feeling the joy that your son would want you to be in right now.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm suggesting, it sounds to me like you did a really good job with that, but what I'm suggesting is three more letters where you write to him,
yeah,
but you also write a letter to each of your other sons, making amends.
That would certainly bring out the emotions.
Yes, but that's what has to come out. Part of your I want to say deadness in the world since your son died,
yeah,
is repressed emotions.
Oh, I can guarantee that.
Yeah, and that's why, and that's even part of, if you want to think metaphysically, you losing your eyesight is also part of those repressed emotions. Your body can hold that stuff in just so long.
Yeah.
You're trying to keep your eyes closed to things that you need to take a look at, and going blind is one way to do that.
Yeah.
But going blind is another way to force you inside yourself. Instead,
yes,
of seeing what's around you, you're forced into the darkness inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you, Warren?
It does in a very, you know, common sense, but it's hard for me to rationalize.
Right. Well, common sense is what you need right now.
Yeah.
And rationalizing is what you've been doing since your son died.
Even though it's 14 years or
13 Yes, you've been rationalizing, which means you've been in denial, you've been talking away the issues, you've been not dealing with it. But I think that the letters that I'm suggesting that you write, especially to the two sons that are still alive,
sure,
write them without the intention of actually mailing them to them so that you feel free to say whatever it is, but write them with a desire of a father to express his love for his sons and make amends for your disappearance when their brother died.
I sure can admit that I've been withholding a lot.
Yeah, and they need to hear that. They need to feel,
they,
you know,
really?
they're probably filled with a lot of anger that, you know, you didn't show up for them, but all this can be healed.
Mm.
And you need to believe that.
Yeah.
You start with the one son that seems more available and you move on to the other, but start by writing these letters, Warren. I've had clients, I've done this myself when I've needed to work on something. It's a very powerful tool.
Are you a psychic or a clairvoyant or a psychologist?
I'm a psychotherapist. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. But I also,
in other words,
I also feel like, since I was a kid, very intuitive, and I think that's one of the things that makes me a good therapist.
Yeah. In other words, a gestalt.
Well, actually, I've had 2 years of gestalt training. So.
Yeah, that's where I used to go.
Good.
Years ago, and, you know, it didn't really help. Because I had that question to them. I said, we're role-playing here, but, you know, role-playing is not,
mm-hmm,
the same.
You were shut down. You weren't ready.
Yeah.
And you may be in enough pain now. You were in enough pain to call and talk to me.
Yeah, well...
You were lonely enough to want to pick up and feel someone listening to you.
Well, I've been listening to the radio, believe it or not, because of my vision problems,
mm-hmm,
that have materialized over the last 2 months.
Uh-huh.
It's a good outlet to listen to the radio version,
right,
of trying to strain your eyes.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Until they're corrected, supposedly.
Well, are you willing to write those letters that I'm suggesting?
Yeah, sounds good.
And when you write those letters, are you willing to reach out, maybe talk to your doctor about a therapist that deals with the situation that you're in? Your doctor probably refers other patients for psychotherapy, too, to deal with a lot of the issues. Your doctor may be a good resource for finding a good therapist to help you deal with this and help you rebond with your two living sons and,
sure,
and reconnect with your own sense of aliveness again.
Yeah. I guess when my father was killed, when my son was killed, it re-injured all the grief.
Yeah. I mean, it does go back to your relationship with your dad, too. I mean, you know,
how old? About 18.
Yeah. I mean, you may need to write a letter to your dad, too, you know, completing some things there. But the letter writing might be really helpful for you, and it could be the start of this journey that you really need to be on.
Yeah.
Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Good.
You know, I'm on the radio. I've tried to open up with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to tap into too much with you because you don't have an outlet to take it somewhere else after we're done talking.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm suggesting that you write the letters, but you also get a referral from somebody there locally, in Phoenix or Scottsdale so that you can take those letters somewhere and start working on them and maybe get to the point where those letters feel comfortable enough for you to actually send them off to your sons.
Yeah.
It may be one of the nicest holiday gifts they ever get from you.
Yeah, it might develop that way.
Yeah.
But, I appreciate your show. You know, it's nice to listen to.
I appreciate it. Is this the first time you've listened in?
No, I've listened to KXAM, but this is the first time I've ever heard your show.
Well, I'm on here every Tuesday night. I'm glad you called, and I'm wishing you a much more joyous and merry Christmas this year.
I appreciate that.
Okay? And I'm wishing you that in honor of your son that passed away.
No, thank you.
And in honor of the two that are still with you.
Well, I think we're glad that we caught Saddam Hussein because I'm a veteran also.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? That's you getting out into the big world instead of staying in with the stuff that we were just talking about.
Yeah, I used to be on the stage and everything with music.
Yeah. You had an aliveness, and you know what? Your music was part of that.
Every time I get down and out, I figure how many people have enjoyed my music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
but the other thing is, how many people can still be enjoying you?
Yeah.
And you're hiding from them.
Yeah, I'm neglecting that.
Yeah.
Ignoring
it's not
that.
Just your music. Your music is an extension of who you are.
Yeah.
But who you are is what needs to show up in the world.
Yeah, it makes very good sense.
Good. Are you going to write those letters?
Sure.
Are you going to talk to your doctor about getting a referral to see a therapist?
Well, I see the doctors every 3 weeks with the condition.
Well, you can call them even in advance of that, and you don't have to wait. I mean, I really would like to see you get in and see somebody before the holidays and maybe even get those letters clear enough that maybe you want to mail them before the new year.
Yeah, I have a visit with Scottsdale Memorial Operation Room,
mm-hmm.
You know, on the 26th.
Well, you can call your doctor's office and get the referral for a good therapist
yeah.
before then.
All right.
But write the letters tonight or tomorrow.
And I'll try to continue to listen to your show.
I would love to know that I have a steady listener like you.
I'll try to.
Warren, you're in my prayers for your eyesight as well as for your healed relationships, okay?
It's an interesting point that your show came on when it did.
Now, there's no accidents.
No. Okay.
Thanks for calling, Warren.
I was very constructive talking to you.
I appreciate hearing that, and I'm
and
glad
it
was.
I hope people learn something just from my experience, too.
Good. I'm sure that they did, because a lot of people who listen to a show like this who are afraid to make the phone call, when you make the phone call and you talk about your stuff, those that are too frightened to call themselves get some help from it. So thanks
yeah,
for calling,
it helps,
Warren.
It helps to open up.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
That's why you're going to call and get a therapist, right?
Exactly.
Because it helps to open up.
Yeah.
That's the name of my show, Tell the Truth Faster.
Well, you have a nice evening.
Okay, thank you. And we're going
to
take a break now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Warren. So this is Stuart Altshuler. I want to thank Warren for calling in, and we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back with more of Tell the Truth Faster. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and I want to again thank Warren from Scottsdale for his call and for the courage it took to do that, and remind any of you that might be listening, if you feel like calling in tonight, the number is 480-949-1310. And tonight we've been talking about holiday blues, or holiday light. And just like with Warren, he's talked about, you know, the blues that he's been in since the loss of his father and his son. And the goal here is to get honest enough to tell the truth faster so that you get back to a holiday of light again, so that you're more alive and connecting with those that still are around. So, Warren, I do hope you write those letters, and I do hope you follow through and get a therapist to start helping you work with those. And I pray for your relationship with your other two sons now. So before we... Before Warren's call, I was talking about the choices that we make to experience the holidays as something of our worst stressful past or whether we want to actually have something of value. And I was about to quote something from Michael Alvear, who's the author of Men Are Pigs, But We Love Bacon. And I'll read what he writes in one paragraph here. He said, "You can't change the holidays single-handedly. Let's face it, people are addicted to them. It's one of the few addictions that doesn't have its own 12-step program. So start your own. Admit you are powerless in the face of the higher power of the RRT, which he says, retailing, religion, and tradition. Then do your own thing. Decide how you'd like to spend the next few weeks. Quietly, with friends, at parties, out of town, with or without relatives, children, gift-giving. Is there a spiritual or religious component of the holidays that you like? Identify what you want and organize the coming weeks to get as much of it as possible." That's the most important thing, and that's the end of that quote. The most important thing is, what is meaningful to you? Is going home, meaning leaving town to do the family obligations, something that you know every year, year after year, ends up being a nightmare? You know, people drinking too much, or the old cattiness comes out, or unhealed conflicts that just keep getting renewed year after year after year when everybody comes together again, and everybody keeps doing it, but nobody wants to, and nobody's willing to say so. So, what if you decided this year to create your own new holiday traditions? What if you decided not to go home now when all the family is gathered and all the conflict happens, but maybe if you feel like it's important to visit the old homestead, which may be in another city than where you currently live, then plan it at a time that's not around the holidays when everyone else is as stressed out and connecting with history as you are. Go back at a time when you can have a different quality of a visit. And plan. Where would you rather be? And is there family in your life? Say you've moved to a new city, or there are people that you know love you for who you are, that would be much more pleasant to be around at the holidays. Maybe you might choose to be with them and create some new traditions, a new sense of family in your own home. And that, to me, is a very important thing. You know, even, you know, married couples or gay and lesbian couples who are in committed relationships forget that they have their own homes now. And why are they not developing certain traditions now? Why are they waiting for maybe mom and dad to pass away so that all of a sudden nobody knows what to do because that focus isn't there anymore? Start creating your own traditions for your own sake, for the sake of the commitment you have with your partner, for the sake of whatever children might be around, but mostly for your own sake. Something that says home in a way for you that you've always wanted it to be, so that home stops becoming a four-letter word that has such more negative connotations. How would you like to spend your holidays? What would be it? Would it be a quiet time in the mountains at Sedona or skiing at Big Bear? Would it be an English Dickens Christmas that you go away to Europe with yourself or a couple of friends or a loved one and make it something that has a whole different feel and a whole different draw for you? Would it maybe mean going to that family gathering, wherever it is, whether it's in the city you live in or elsewhere, and setting boundaries that are so much more appropriate and so much friendlier for you, that is more compassionate and kinder way to treat yourself? In other words, if you know that the drinking in your family gets crazy after the dinner, then you stay for the dinner and you make other plans for after dinner so you're not there for all of the insanity. Or you limit your time of the visit. Or if you have siblings or somebody there that you maybe want to heal some things with, get together with them one-on-one and talk about yourself and each other, not other family members. keep that material out of it, because it's keeping you from actually talking about what keeps us distant from one another. What do I need to apologize to you for? What acknowledgement do I need from you? And bring it closer together, but do it one-on-one. And acknowledge the fact that maybe it is uncomfortable. Always talk about your feelings. This is uncomfortable for me, but you know what? You're my brother or you're my sister, and this is important. I don't want to grow old not having a more intimate relationship with you. And what can we do to heal this? And apologize for anything you've ever said or done in the past that may have offended them or hurt them. And listen to them also. Okay? So you have the choice that if you do go back to the old childhood homestead, to set boundaries for it this year. And another way is that if there's a feeling flashback that comes up, be conscious of them. A feeling flashback is a recurrence of feelings from the past when you felt threatened, unimportant, or not good enough. If such feelings surface, ground yourself with strong self-talk to help you fight back internally. Remind yourself that you're no longer a child and that your thoughts and feelings are important. Just because a family member is being rude doesn't change who you are. Do you get that? Just because somebody is behaving in a certain way doesn't change who you are, and you are important. So if you get those feelings flashbacks, the important thing is, this is about telling the truth faster, that you're staying conscious long enough to be aware that something's uncomfortable is happening in my body. Being here right now, I feel like a 10-year-old. I feel like that 8-year-old. I feel like this is the way I was treated in the family. I was invisible then, or I was the one always being picked on, or whatever the situation was. Or maybe you're aware of how you're being put up as the golden child all the time and how that must have made your siblings feel. And it's not to feel guilty about it, because it's something your parents did, it was part of the family system, but it's about acknowledging it and maybe even acknowledging to your siblings, you know what, I know that was my role and I never meant to take the glory from you, or taking the glory from everyone else was because I was so insecure and I had to have it because I felt so bad about who I was. And that's something I'm no longer choosing to feel. I'm trying to feel that I'm important, and I'm letting you know you're important to me also. Create a holiday season you want. New traditions. Modify old ones. Don't do just what's obligated, what you feel obligated to do just because everybody says it's your obligation. What do you think about that? Does it scare you to think that you might call family and say, you know what, I'm not coming this year. I'll visit all you guys another time, but I have some plans that I want to do, and I have some other, you know, some friends that we're all going to do something different this year. Merry Christmas, you know, whatever. And maybe it's the fact that you can't afford to travel home, and maybe you feel sad about it. So communicate that also. I wish I could be there. I miss you guys. I'd really feel sad that I can't afford it, but that's just my reality right now. And do something here at home that makes it something special, instead of just sitting feeling sad and depressed because you can't be with the people in another city that you love and where you want to be and where your traditions are. That's as important a time to actually step back and say, all right, I can't go this year for whatever reason. Maybe it's health reasons. Maybe it's financial reasons. Maybe it's business commitments that you can't get away and do that. That doesn't mean your holidays are ruined unless you choose that. So you create traditions for yourself here. You create who you want to spend the time with and how you want to spend that time. That's an important thing. The choice is yours in what you're going to do with your holidays. What about the spiritual component? You know, if you're Jewish, is Hanukkah just about lighting candles and giving gifts? If you're Christian, is Christmas just about the parties and the food and the gift giving? Ground yourself again and the spiritual reasons why these things are celebrated. Something that maybe you've been disconnected from all year. And maybe the gift you give yourself this year is the fact that you choose to create a spiritual environment for yourself throughout the year and not just on these holidays. Something that will help create a different level of balance for you. This is an important thing. We talk about that on the show every week. This is an important thing to do. Whatever you call higher power, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, that you maintain that personal relationship with throughout the year. Whether it means going to a house of worship, whether it means meditating every day, whatever it is, taking walks in nature, that what it is you seek at this time of year in terms of spirituality that you're creating for yourself throughout the year. We're going to take our last break here, and we're going to come back, and I'll have some closing thoughts on this. So this is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Stay tuned for more.
That I heard of once in a lifetime.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles, and you're listening to KXAM. And the show that I do every Tuesday night here on this Phoenix station. It's also broadcast live, simulcast live over the internet, and you can listen to it if you want friends to listen to it who are not local in the Phoenix area. They can go to tellthetruthfaster.com and listen to the show live over the internet, as well as every show I've done for the last 2 years are all archived on there. If there's a topic somebody wants to listen to, they certainly can just click on that particular topic and hear how the show went that particular night. And, you know, I really feel grateful. I get emails from people who have listened to a show and had never heard the show before, but listened to a show on the website and had some questions or comments for me. The other thing, we're talking about the spiritual component of this time of year and how important it is to translate that throughout the year. Now, I also want to remind yourself, we're talking about body, mind, and spirit connection. That's the spiritual component. We talked about the cultural stuff, the emotional and psychological stuff, but the physical stuff, in other words, the stress that you put on yourself, you know, the obligation of having to get certain number of gifts for everybody and spend a certain amount of money. Be realistic. Don't stress yourself out with thinking you have to spend more than you can afford just to look good. Be honest. Tell the truth faster. If you're in a really difficult season or year, if you've been laid off or your income is not what others are in your circle or in your family, be honest. And give the gifts that you want to give with love and pick them individually so that you can still feel like you've gotten a gift for everyone, but it's within your own means so that you're not stressing out after the holidays because of increased use of your credit cards, or you're not stressing out because you feel ashamed that your gifts are not as expensive as others in the family or your circle of friends. Sometimes I like doing like a theme. One year it was candles. Everybody got candles. One year it was a friend had published a book, and I got him to autograph a copy of the book for everyone. I gave about 20 copies of the book out as gifts. And, you know, there could be other themes. It could be a photograph that you give, something of yourself or something you took, something you created, and you buy picture frames and put it in that. In fact, I did that. I had a beautiful picture I took of my nephew at a gathering in June, and it was my mother's 80th birthday, and so everybody got a frame. You know, I got really nice frames that also do not have to be expensive to be beautiful, and sent everybody in the family a picture of my nephew, which is a gorgeous picture, and they're all thrilled with it. Remember also, food and alcohol. You're eating a lot more, you have access to a lot more sugar, a lot more carbs, a lot more of everything. be aware of what you're putting into your body. And the alcohol and the drugs. I already know people who are already buying the drugs that they're going to need for New Year's Eve because they think that's the only way they can celebrate. Take a real good look at yourself around that. If that's what you're already doing, then maybe the drugs are playing too big a part in your life. I wish all of you to have a happiest of holiday season and that you create what is perfect for yourself and be kind to yourself and understanding and compassionate to yourself this holiday. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and anything else that fits. Speak to you next week. Do it all truly here and tell the truth faster.